All right, we're going to get started this morning. There is a lot to cover this morning. I've cut it down a bit, but I think we're still kind of going to be pushed for time. So we're going to get into it. We are closing in on the end of the Baptist Distinctives. We're down this week. We start the two offices, pastor and deacon, next week with the focus this week on pastor, and next week we'll be focusing on the deacons. So that'll be next week. And just a recap of where we have been. We have worked our way down this list fairly far, being biblical authority, the ground on which all the rest of these really fall out and come. A, autonomy of the local church. P, priesthood of every believer. And just in case you think this is all just boring front matter, I am going to ask a question about one of these in the next 5 minutes, so it would be wise to pay attention to them. Priesthood of every believer, we have the ability to go directly to God. We don't have to go through anybody else. We have that opportunity and privilege. Two ordinances, baptism and communion, individual soul liberty that also could be termed individual soul responsibility. Everybody stands before God on their own. They don't get in just because somebody in the state said, yea, verily, we are all Catholic or we are all Baptist or we are all whatever. No, you have a responsibility before God and you will stand before God for what you have done and not done with his son and with his word. Last week, we looked at saved, baptized church membership and looking at the pattern of the New Testament where we see that's exactly what happens. They're saved, they're baptized, and then added to the local church. You see, as Paul's writing his letters to the churches in the New Testament era, he's writing to believers that are in those churches. And then this week, we start two offices, pastor and deacon. So, anybody know of any other offices? I just said we only have two offices, pastor and deacon. Any other denominations or religions, what other offices they might have? Not might have, they actually have. There should be some easy ones that we could. Pope, thank you for taking at least the easiest one out there. Pope would be one of them. Anybody else got one? Bishops, okay. Cardinal, that would be. And then you get some archbishops in there. And you get a variety of different names, but those generally being some of them. Actually, and deacon shows up in other places that isn't quite the same. That came up as kind of an interesting thing. Bob Anderson was co-coaching a Little League team with my third line manager. So that means not my immediate manager, not his manager, but the guy above him. And he goes, hey, wait a minute, you work at Lockheed, hey, you might know Jeff. Oh, yeah, how do you know Jeff? Well, I'm a deacon with him. And he all of a sudden got all sorts of crazy. And I'm like, oh, what? Well, he comes from a Catholic background, and a deacon is yay close to being a priest in that area. And so he was like, Jeff's a priest? I know he's... So every now and then, you kind of got to take a step into what do we believe again and how are we different from other people? Because when we're using the same word, but the meanings are completely different, and he got all sorts of nervous. His choice, not mine. All right, bishops are bishops. Some people use elders and other things like that. We're going to hit some of that this week. But how does that make Baptist distinct? Let me give you a quote to start off. Two offices. The two offices of pastor and deacon exist within the local church, not as a hierarchy outside or over the local church. All right, so that's kind of a summary of where the two offices are. Now, here, as I said, there was going to be a quiz question on some of the Baptist distinctives. This distinctive, as stated here, is very similar or would be closely related to what other distinctive that we've already covered? Autonomy of the local church is going to be that one, right? Particularly the phrase in there that might have helped you a little bit, not as a hierarchy outside a local church. We believe that there's only two offices. Other churches, the Mormon church has a hierarchy, the Presbyterian church has a hierarchy. Many of these other churches have hierarchy. The Lutherans, Catholics, all have a hierarchy that exists outside of the local church. What makes us distinct is that we believe there's only two offices. And those two offices are pastor and deacon and exist only within the local church and not as a hierarchy outside of it. Now, we've already hit a couple names of things this morning. And in fact, as we go through our Bible today, we're going to see a variety of things. Pastor, elder, bishop, shepherd, overseer. And I was like, yep, see, Jeff, there is bishop. It's in the Bible. Let's go back to the first one, biblical authority. And see, bishop, it's a thing. Well, we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at all five of those at least and look and see what does the Bible say about them as we try to understand and make some sense of all these different terms. So what does the Bible say? Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. And while we're doing that, hopefully you got a chance to get a handout. There's a piece of paper in the back, and there's writing utensils as well. And basically what I want you to do is be able to put some notes here, because by about the third or fourth passage, you might get a little lost and say, I forgot what we covered in the first passage. And it's important this morning because we put them all together. And your notes are going to have a question. The first is going to have the verse that we're covering, in this case, Acts 20, 17 to 29. And then it will have a spot to say what words or leadership words are used here. And if we go back in time, it's probably going to be one of those. Pastor, shepherd, elders, bishop, overseer. One of those kind of, what words are being used in here? And then, I got to make sure I, notes about the leadership words. How are those leadership words used? What kind of understanding can we get from this passage about what those terms mean? So let's start with Acts chapter 20 and starting in verse 17. We're going to ask the two questions. What are the leadership words? As we go, I'm going to ask you that question, and you're going to help me by answering it. And then how are the words used? So Acts 20, verse 17. This is Paul leaving Ephesus. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or except that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither account I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I am not ashamed, or I am not shunned, to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. All right, so first question. What leadership kind of words, remember that previous slide I showed, a shepherd, overseer, elder, pastor, bishop. Some of those words are in here. Which ones are in here? Elders in here. All right, somebody got that? Overseer. So we got elders. In verse 17, he calls the elders of the church to him. Okay, and back in verse 28, we got overseers. Now, there's another one that's kind of hidden. I wouldn't expect everybody to just get that one popping out at you. Go ahead, try it. Oh, why do you say shepherd? Right. That word is not there, and you'd be, I asked specifically what words are used, so shepherd is not there, but you get the idea of shepherd there. Why? Because he's using terms like flock, and we don't have the actual word for shepherd, but it gives that idea. Now, how are the words used? So he calls the elders, right, and then he says to do what with them, or what should they be doing? He's calling them. He's talking to them. Unfortunately for our study this morning, there's a large gap in between where Paul's talking about everything that he did there and where he was going to go and what he was going to do. And then we get to the end where they kind of put everything back into place for us for our study this morning. What does he want the elders to do? To feed the church of God. All right, let's ask a simple question this morning. How often do you eat? Every chance you get. I got an every chance you get, and I got an every day. Anybody, we probably got a good coverage there. Thank you. Somebody took the softball question like I expected. Thank you. All right, every day. Now, in order to eat every day or to feed every day, and let's just say that you're being fed and that you're not having to scrounge around for, how often does somebody have to feed you? If you're going to eat every day, let's just assume that a meal is going to, I need to eat three times a day, or in Ron's case, every chance that he gets. How often does somebody need to feed you in order for you to eat that often? As often as you can, three times. So somebody needs to be doing that, right? Feeding me. So if Paul, now think through this just for a second. If Paul is saying, feed the flock of God, is that something that somebody remote will be able to do? Is that somebody that comes around every 6 months and just wants to check on the church? Is that possible? Right? Because it's feeding. How many of you would like to go 6 months before you ate? A year and a half? Waiting on leadership to come by at some point and over all the churches that I am to swing through and say, hi, I'm your district representative. I'm the bishop. I'm the cardinal of this area. I just wanted to come in and say hi and feed you. No, the feeding of the flock kind of implies that it's somebody that's going to be a little closer. Somebody that's going to be more of in the case of Ron, as often as possible, going to be feeding you. So these elders who are given a responsibility of feeding the flock of God don't sound like they're sitting somewhere outside of the local church. They sound like they're in the local church, doing the work of feeding the flock. Now, what other job does these elders have? Protection? Good. They have protection. Maybe something interesting about the elders is it uses the term elder and overseer almost interchangeably. Right? He calls the elders together and says, oversee. I want you to look over this group. He didn't call the elders and the overseers. There's a point here that we'll get to in the next passage. But he didn't call elders and overseers. He called elders. And then in the middle of the conversation, he said, oversee. Now, this is kind of an interesting word because, and this is more than you would normally get by just reading the Bible. I looked in a concordance for what the Greek word is. The elder, the Greek word, I won't pronounce the Greek word well, but it's presbyteros or something along those lines, which would is the word we get presbytery from. Those that would preside over the assemblies or the churches, all right? Also used interchangeably with bishop, elder, and presbyters. All right, fine. Overseer, this is another word that you may be familiar more with the English word. It's episkopos, from which we would get the word episcopal. Right? These are religious terms that we're kind of familiar with, and that's translated, an overseer, a man charged with the duty of seeing that things are done by others and done rightly. Kind of a superintendent. But these words here, even though they're different words, are kind of used, Paul's using them interchangeably, referring to the same group of people. Hey, you are elders. You preside over the assemblies. You have some leadership responsibility. And you're overseers, making sure that things are getting done. And by the way, you're also feeding the flock. We kind of slipped that other word in there, shepherd. Feeding the flock, kind of implying a daily responsibility. That these people are serving within the local church in order to feed the people. Otherwise, they're starving. Let's move on. Titus chapter 1. So from that one, the summary that I want you to see is elders and overseers, and technically shepherds, are used interchangeably. Referring to the same group of people, they've obviously different words, but referring to the same group of people. Maybe you'll see a pattern here. Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. All right, let's get to the easy question. What are the leadership or office terms used here? We got bishop and you got... Oh, they use elders again. Thank you for saying again in here. All right, so last one we had elders and overseers. In this passage, we got elders and bishops. Well, that's interesting. All right, let's continue on. So does it look like elders and bishops are different? Are they different in this passage? All I got is shaking heads. I got no. No, why is that? Well, I ordained them, and here's what they should be like. These bishops must be like this. Now, this is kind of interesting. I was going to put a slide up on this for some of us that haven't been in school for a long time. In geometry, I think there's an axiom that I think it was the very first one. I taught this years ago when I was knee-deep in geometry with one of my students. And there's an axiom that says, and let me just use the Piranesis and the Hadleys and the Hunts right now. If I have the same number of children as Pastor has, and I have the same number of children that the Piranesis have, you got that? There's seven, all right? Then the Piranesis and the Hunts have the same amount of children, right? If A is equal to B and B is equal to C, then guess what? A is equal to C. So what we found in the first two passages so far is what? The elders and overseers are used interchangeably. These terms are used to refer to the same people. And now we get to Titus and we get to another one, interesting one. We got elders again, is what you said. It's elders again and bishops. And they're used interchangeably. So what we're beginning to find now is, wait a minute, elders, overseers, and bishops, but they're all different words, yes. I'm not going to argue the fact that they're different Greek words. They are. But referring to the same person every time. And I go, that's a little strange. We'll get to that in a second. Now, they're used interchangeably. Is there anything here that might imply local ministry and not a ministry outside of the church? In this passage that we're looking at here, Titus 1, 5 through 11, is there anything that might give us a clue that the person that we're referring to, whether it's a bishop, elder, overseer, is involved in local ministry in every city? Okay. What did you... A steward of God? Which verse was that? I'm sorry. 7. As a steward of God, okay. Why do you say that? Go with it. Okay. Right? Right? I like the thought there, right? Hospitality, from a hierarchy perspective, one that's removed and that's over multiple places, that dives into a place quickly, usually traveling as he's overseeing a group of people or various organizations, comes in, and maybe he comes in and speaks now. Maybe he goes to a conference, but his home is somewhere else. The opportunity for somebody that's over the church, that's outside of the church, to practice hospitality is a lot less. It is easier for somebody that's involved in local church ministry to be hospitable. Why? Because they're always here. God is saying, I need this person, let me make sure I quote it right, to be a lover of hospitality. Why? In an administrative point of view, it doesn't make any sense. How do I be hospitable? I guess I could rent places everywhere that I go, rent hotels or rent banquet halls and invite people over. But the idea of having somebody in your house, the idea of having a meal with them or sharing some time with them or being able to help them is a lot less from somebody that's overseeing a variety of churches. We get some of the ideas here and some of these other words as well, but I had looked, thank you for picking up on hospitality, that hospitality would refer more towards a local church ministry. There's another one here. Probably verse 9, and I can understand it, might not see it immediately, holding fast the faithful word. It kind of gives the impression of being in the middle of the trenches. Somebody that's got to fight this on a regular basis. And how do I got to hold this fast? How do I got to make, I'm, if it's not me, the whole thing's going down. No, there's a battle that's pulling my people this way, or this thing is incoming into my church, or it's affecting my people's lives. I've got to hold fast because I know what's going on in my churches. I know my people. Gives more of the idea. Now, it doesn't say it outright. I'll give you that. But we get the idea of these qualifications and the responsibilities of this bishop elder, also overseer with geometry. You thought you were all done with geometry, didn't you? But they have some responsibilities that look like local church responsibilities, not outside the local church. All right, let's move on to 1 Timothy 3. Just back a couple pages. And for sure, we will be here next week as well. But this, most of you should be, oh yeah, we're definitely going to end up here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, well, all right, let me stop there just for a second and go back. Now, a bishop we've seen used interchangeably with elder, and henceforth elder was used interchangeably with overseer. So bishop, elder, overseer. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patience, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. And I will stop there, not because I am one, but because we're going to deal with that next week and we'll hit it again. All right, so what leadership words are used in this passage? And there's a reason I included the last verse, because that's free game. What leadership terms are used in this passage? Bishop and deacon. All right, I only include the last one in there for that. All right, the bishop and deacon. So we already know that elder, overseer, bishop, all kind of the same thing. What can we learn about these positions? Or maybe some observations that would point to this position, this bishop position, the overseer, elder position, being a part of a local church. What, is there anything? All right, yes. Okay. 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 What other things in this passage? That's a good one. The accountability aspect of that, being able to see that even in nominating it. I've seen it myself once. My brother has seen it once, where a pastor did not have his children in subjection under them, and he took the church the same way. The church ended up looking like his rambunctious children. It wasn't good. There's a reason the stuff is in the Bible. It's there for us. So what else leads us to believe or helps us understand that this is probably a local church ministry, not something outside of? A ruler of his own household. Why do you... apt to teach. I like the apt to teach part of that, right? It's one of those things that I've noticed the longer I continue to work, that they promote me and put me over the early career professionals that come in right out of college, and they say, hey, they're cheaper, and they work faster than you. Can you manage them? But I like writing code. I like doing this work. This is the stuff that I enjoy doing. But the older that I get, there are people that need that experience as well and that know some new things out of college that I haven't kept up with or unable to, or they like staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning doing this stuff. Hey, more power to you. I think I'll be over here. But I'm doing less and less of that in a leadership position because there's people under me that do that. And from a local church perspective, there is a tremendous, at any given time, there's a tremendous opportunity and open doors to teach. You start working your way out of a hierarchy or up a hierarchy, and it's less teaching, less day-to-day, but more administrating. And so you wouldn't need that qualification for somebody that's outside. You want an administrator, you don't need a teacher. So that's a good one. What else? Oh, that would be good too, that people around. Okay, right. He has a good, for those that didn't hear that, he has a good reputation outside of his church. Okay? And I'll give you the free one. Hospitality is mentioned here as well, but since we already mentioned it, we already kind of know what that point was. There's another kind of interesting one. Not covetous. Why would you say that? That's an interesting choice. Uh-huh. Okay. Now, what part of that would help us understand that it's more of a local church ministry versus somebody that's outside of the church? Anything? Not doing it for money. Yeah, that is true. Let me give you another option. There was two leadership terms used in this passage, yes? What are they again? Pastor and deacon. Let's kind of work our way through this. The deacon is where? Is there, in fact, in the Catholic Church and everywhere else, where is the deacon? What? Yes. Servant, yes. Second. Okay. I was going in the local church, right? All those are good answers, by the way. All those are great. Keep those for next week because we're going to be hitting them again. But the answer that I was looking for was they're all in the local church. So you've given qualifications. This qualification now by itself may not be enough, but you start putting these other ones, the hospitality, the accountability, and ruling their own house well, the good reputation outside of in the community. And then you put, hey, this list of qualifications for a pastor is in the same chapter as one that's talking about deacons, which is a local church ministry. Perhaps. And because of these other things, this is a local church responsibility. And we might understand this to be, I think you'll see it in a bit. I was looking for where exactly it is. Yeah. I would say my summation for this one would be a bishop is a pastor. That's what their job is. Turn forward to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, there's probably another one for those of you that have studied pastors to go, yeah, we got to get there. First Peter 5, starting in verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraints, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. All right, this is good. Lots of people can answer in this one. How about some leadership terms that are in this passage? You're just grinning, so I'll let you. Oh. Give me elders. Give somebody else a chance. So we got elders. What else we got? Shepherd. Anyone else? Sorry? Lords, okay. They want to be not lords, but what other referring to those that he's talking to? He doesn't want them to be lords over them, yes. We got elder and oversight, yes. Flock, yes. We kind of mentioned that with... I agreed with shepherd. I should have not so fast, but... We agreed with shepherd because of the same things we talked about in the previous passage, right? Somebody help me out because we've already done it this morning. Why would we say shepherd is in here even though the chief shepherd's in here? Non-chief shepherd, for lack of better. Under-shepherd, let me put the term we often use here, the under-shepherd. Why would we use that term here? What gives us any indication that there's an under-shepherd? Feed the flock, that's one of them. You had verse 2, yes. We have feed the flock in verse 2. We have be an example to the flock in verse 3. So we have elder, we have the shepherd, and what? Overseer. Oddly enough, it's oversight, but the word is in the Greek about one digit off. So that it's in the same family as overseer. It's oversight. So it's the same episcopal term that we used before. So very good catching that because it wasn't capitalized and it wasn't done anything else. It's just oversight all there by itself. So we got elder feeding the flock, and we got somebody with the oversight. So we got a lot of those words all in the same thing appearing to talk about the same person. The elders, which are among you, I exhort. All right, so what observations would point to this being part of a pastor slash local church responsibility and not another office altogether? Now, feel free to repeat some of the things we've already said, but what are they? What indications in this passage would help us understand that this is a local church, not something outside of the local church office? Okay, let me get back to you. I like, there's a couple things you just said there. Feeding the flock of God, we already kind of dealt with that. We hit the hot topic of the morning, I want to eat as often as possible. Well, that's great. If we can only take that physical eating over to a spiritual eating, this church is going to be turned upside down. But feeding the flock that is among you, a daily responsibility, and the fact that, as Margaret pointed out, among us, or among you. The ones that are there, right there, not the ones that are back in the home office in Sioux City, Iowa, not that one, Not the one that's got the entire New York State, the flock that is among you. This one. The people that you see every day. Nancy, you had something. Okay, that was talking more of those that had seen Christ die. Peter's giving his qualifications of that. What? Yeah, that's a hard one, right? It says to be, the old word is in sample, and we would put example. That's basically the same word. It says be an sample to the flock. Now, there's lots of ways to kind of sort of mostly kind of do that today with the internet and Zoom and Skype and a whole bunch of other stuff. But you know what? You don't see everything. And you can hide a lot on the internet. It's very easy. It's easy to put up a studio, a nice looking room, you've seen the jokes of all sorts of people that arrive to their Zoom meetings and they're dressed in a shirt and tie from this point up and their shorts or pajama pants from that part down. Why? Because you're not filming the rest of me. And the interesting thing about that the internet allows us to do that to not just our clothes. The internet allows you to see me as I want to portray me, as I carefully craft me, and it really isn't me, but it's what I'm giving you. In order to be an example to the flock, you're going to need to be around them. This is always a hard one because for you, you see me, at least the teacher that's up here, and some of you that have seen me in a variety of circumstances know more about me than some of you that just only sit in the Sunday school class. Now, I've got children in this class that see Daddy when he gets up, and it's not just the fact that his hair sticks up on end or that his breath smells or anything else like that, but they know when I get up. They know when I go to bed. They know what it's like when Daddy's under stress, and they know what Daddy's like when... And they know everything about Daddy. Daddy, whether he likes it or not, is an example to his flock. Good and bad. An example goes both ways. And the idea behind a local church ministry is you are rubbing shoulders with him. The leader that God has placed here, being an example. Tremendous responsibility, yes, just like being a parent. All right, other observations there's an interesting word here, chief shepherd, right? Somebody take the easy one. Chief shepherd is referring to what? God. Somebody gave me the Sunday school answer. Thank you. God, our Heavenly Father, when he shall appear, when he comes back, I wrote here that implies... The chief shepherd implies that the next highest leadership position for an elder, although that's never going to happen, also implying that these elders are also shepherds. In this case, the chief shepherd is Jesus. So, applying local church. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And you might be like, Jeff, I think we got it already. I hope so. My normal pattern is to try to find as much as possible that kind of help us understand the most we can about the Bible and get in and to see the repetition here. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into lower parts of the earth. We're not going into all this morning. Starting verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give these? And we would call this one of the spiritual gift passages. Romans 1 Corinthians 12, are going to do very similar things. Some pastors, some teachers, for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I know I'm stopping mid-sentence, but this is Paul, so I am going to stop mid-sentence. What leadership word is used here? Pastors, thank you. That's the easy one. So we haven't really seen it yet, but here it is, straight up. Is there anything that helps us understand that this is part of a local church? Or actually, let me ask another question too. Is there any gift that seems missing here? Missing? What are you talking about? Kind of sarcastic, but kind of dealing with the topic this morning. There seems to be some gifts missing. Deacon is not a gift, but thank you for thinking of that. Nope, you're not thinking the same way I am, which is probably okay for most things. In this situation, we're talking about the Baptist distinctive. Some of those things are different, right? There's no bishop gift, no pope gift, no cardinal gift, no overseer, no bishop. Why? Well, at least from the elder, overseer, bishop thing, they're all the same person. Right? But what is the purpose of these gifts? The Bible actually tells us, so somebody just read it out of the Bible for me, and you get 100. For perfecting of the saints, I can't hear all the way through that. All right, so that the saints may be built up, so they may be complete in what they know. Again, kind of implying this daily work inside the local church, and what are you trying to do? What do my people need? Oddly enough, this church is different from the church down the road, which is different from that church down that road. And even if we went with similar churches, we took the Halstead Baptist and three other ones in the local area that are Baptist churches that we might fellowship with or have something to do with, they're going to be different and their needs are going to be different. The people come from different backgrounds, they come from different experiences, they have different things, they're different maturity levels, they've grown, they've sat under the teaching X amount of time, they haven't, they're brand new Christians, whatever the circumstances, they're different. As a bishop sitting over or somebody outside of the church, a hierarchy of that thing, trying to manage all of them and perfecting the saints, it's hard to know what the needs of all those individual groups are. Now, there's some basic needs of knowing Christ, growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fundamental things, yes. How, where's the kind of local church? Somebody that knows what's going on inside the building, somebody that knows the people, they're there. We also see that this is for the work of the ministry. They're in the middle of the church. They're not ruling over it. They're right in it. Get to our last one this morning, John 10. So we've seen bishop, elder, overseer, all kind of being synonymous terms, all kind of being with hospitality, with accountability, teaching those things, lending themselves to being within a local church situation. We've seen the gift of pastor. All these words that we kind of talked about at the beginning, bishop, overseer, pastor, shepherd, we saw the shepherds having and elders having similar jobs. And these are all the same person. Different names, yes, but the same person. Let's look some more at that responsibility here in chapter 10 of John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And that all makes sense to us, right? If you're not using the door and you're coming in through over the wall or through a window, that normal people don't do that. Robbers do. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, we've heard about shepherds, we've heard about chief shepherds, and now we're going to hear something about what a shepherd is. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now Jesus is going to explain it to them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come in before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. All right, I'm not going to ask the standard questions on that, so your paper is all sorts of messed up now. Because the key phrase here is going to be shepherd, but we want to learn something about the shepherd. What is the position of shepherd? What does the job of shepherd entail according to this? Now, obviously, it's talking about Jesus being the good shepherd, but from a perspective, if you're an under-shepherd, you still got shepherd in your name, and you still got that responsibility. So what responsibilities does a shepherd have here? Watch the flock, okay? Stays with his flock, okay? Feeding his flock, thank you. Protecting, I like that one too, protecting his flock. All right, so there was another one I might have missed. Leading? Yes, leading. It was too fast for me to look back at me. Sacrificing for the flock. What was that? Protecting. We might have gotten all of these already. I apologize because I didn't have a chance to like cross stuff off of my notes as we went, but gives his life for his sheep. A couple of people had hit protection aspect of this. He knows his sheep. Think about that. It's great to think about it from our Heavenly Father and the fact that he knows his sheep. That would be this whole Sunday school lesson, and it would be a fun Sunday school lesson on top of that. But from the perspective of an under-shepherd, he also knows the sheep. He knows them. It's easy to pray for them. It's not that church in Stanfordville. He knows by family and by kid and by each individual person. Why? Because he's here, and a good shepherd knows his sheep. And the other part of this is they know him. And when he calls, they say, hey, wait a minute. Again, it's primarily a Jesus passage. When he calls, when Jesus calls, we're like, that's his voice. I'm going that way. And when pastor's leading, he's like, you know, somebody else said something. Unfortunately, sometimes it's, well, I heard this guy on the internet, and pastor, he disagrees with you. You know your shepherd's voice? Are you listening to the man that's living in front of you? The one that you get to see every day? The one that cares for you and protects you and gives his life for you and knows you and feeds you? The shepherd here has ownership and responsibility for the sheep in contrast to the hireling that says, whoa, this is getting a little too uncomfortable for me. There's danger coming. I'm out. This is too hard. The shepherd, that's his sheep. He ain't going anywhere. The sheep have trust and confidence. They're able to follow after. Why? Because I know the one that's leading. I am following that one. I think we already hit on this, but is this more of a local church fulfilled duties? Yes. It would be hard to know your sheep when you only see them two times a year, or perhaps never see them at all. So let's look at the terms again. First term that we kind of run into today is pastor, or what's his job? What's kind of the pastor's duties? Is shepherding the flock, feeding, caring, and protecting it. What other words do we see? We saw elder, bishop, and that's along the lines of providing leadership. There's a feeding aspect of it, but we're also going this direction. As a church, we are moving this way. I'm trying to help us grow in this way. And then overseer, one that superintends, administrates the local church. Oddly enough, that even goes down sometimes to the amount of paper clips that are ordered, the copier is still running, and that the toilets aren't overflowing. That there's enough seats set up for people, and that the right people are in the right spots doing their jobs. But all of those terms we've seen today kind of have different responsibilities, but we've seen in geometry, again, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, that the terms have been used interchangeably and refer to the same man. And we understand this, right? Most of you have the same name that, or about 50% of you in this room have the same name that I do. Dad. In my family, I am husband, which has a particular set of responsibilities. That's taking care of the house and making sure the cars run. And then I am father, which means teach me how to ride my bike and fixing tires and helping me with life decisions. Yes, that's father. And then there's brother. Hey, Jeff, I'm raising my kids. And what did you find with your kids? And did you hear about this? I am son with its own set of responsibilities of caring for my parents at this age, as many of us are, and honoring them. I have at least just there four or five different names, different responsibilities, but oddly enough, I am the same person. And ultimately, my point this morning that I wanted us to see by using this sheet and going through these passages that you find these terms being used interchangeably. Yes, they are different words because they're different responsibilities that are being covered and different jobs that are being covered, but it's the same person. So what does this look like in practice? You should be familiar verses to us, but in Hebrews 13, verse 7, gives us this. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. I'm pretty sure Pastor hit this the other day, a couple weeks ago, mainly because he had to define conversation again. Conversation is way of life, a lifestyle, manner of living. And if I read that again, just without that, considering their way of life, whose faith followed, considering how they live. What does this look like? This is now transitioning it out of the pastoral responsibility and defining all this, but moving it back into us, because this is an interesting class. If we just walk away with, well, that's interesting, overseer, pastor, and elder, and bishop, they're all the same thing, next. But we have a responsibility here, too. Oddly enough, I have an abnormal amount of pastors in my Sunday school class this morning. I normally have one, and now I have two. But a vast majority of this class are not pastors. And a vast majority never will be. That's okay. But we have a responsibility, and one of the things here is remember them which have the rule over you. Those are the pastors, those leaders in that local church who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Why? Because I can see their manner of life. Follow their faith based on their lives. It's a lot easier to follow when it's based on their lives and you can see. Now, I want to make this clear too because it comes up a lot. We've covered a lot of different things in trying to show and to prove that there are only two offices in the local church, and that's pastor and deacon. There's no more authority outside of the church. There's not a hierarchy. We dealt with that even weeks ago with the autonomy of the local church. But we've also done a lot of different things at looking at what the job of a pastor is. Pastor, overseer, bishop, elder, those terms. And what their responsibilities are to care for the sheep, to know his sheep, to feed his sheep. All those are his responsibility. need to ask you this morning, particularly as you, it's easy to do, to go on YouTube or sermon audio and find somebody else and say, but Pastor, turn on the radio and listen to the guy at night or in the morning or at. Let me ask you this question. They're a pastor of their church. Yes. I hope they know their sheep. But you have no idea what their lives are like. I don't know what their lives are like. I'm not speaking this because I know some big pile of dirt. They're like, yeah, don't listen to this guy because of this. I'm not saying that, and I'm not going to besmirch any of them. But I want us to remember Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The man that God has given us feeds us, cares for us, protects us. I once had this put another way, not just the internet. Somebody had challenged me years ago, and I wasn't on the way to go to a mega church or, you know, a church in the 300, 400, 500. But he said, look at the qualifications and the characteristics of what a pastor is supposed to do. And when you go to that church, ask them how that pastor is going to do that. How does this pastor of 1,000 people know his sheep? It might be possible. He might have an answer. I'm not besmirching it, but you want to find that out because that's a pastor's job. How are you going to feed? How are you going to protect? In the same way with the internet or the radio or anybody else like that. Do you know what their lives are like? We put a lot of value in the radio preachers or in these other guys. Well, they must be good. They're on the radio. Do you know anything about them? Are they there to feed you every day? Do they know your family? I'm going to pick on one just for a second there. My car just broke down. I'm going to call up Dr. David Jeremiah. Hey, sir, my car broke down. Any chance you got an extra one or maybe you know somebody around here that can help fix my car? Who are you? I listen to you on the radio, man. As gracious as he possibly could be, he's probably going to say, I don't know you. That's the point. He doesn't. God has given us this command for those that we know. And Pastor David Jeremiah is pastor of his own church. He's leading his own flock. I only picked him as a radio pastor I know about. We have another verse here too. 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account. They may do it with joy, not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. Why do we do this? At the end of the day, and I'll use his name again, not because I have anything against Dr. David Jeremiah in the context of this lesson. He has responsibility for his flock. He does not have responsibility for this flock. He has responsibility for what he preaches, yes. But there's one person that has responsibility for this flock. It's pastor. The Bible gives us this command, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch. It's great to be able to lead. Remember that shepherd? He goes out and the sheep follow because they hear his voice and they're going the direction that the shepherd leads. That gets tied up with this verse. When the sheep are all going their way, it's like, that's not the green grass. The green grass is over there. Hey, I'm not done drinking. I'm staying back here. Hard to go forward when your sheep are going all separate different directions. Hey, I heard the shepherd across the hills is good too. Well, when the shepherd across the hill is beating off the wolves in the middle of the night, be sure to follow him. We have a responsibility in practice to remember them which have the rule over us and obey them that have the rule over you. Why? Because they watch for our souls as one that must give an account. Because they will. There are three authority structures. I mentioned this last week. Three authority structures that God set up. The home, the church, and governments. Each one of those leaders have to give an account before God for what they did with that responsibility. The pastor is yet another one. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you. Lord, for your word again. Lord, we thank you for the pastor and pastors that you have given to us in the past. We thank you for those that feed us, that care for us, that take the oversight over the details of the church, that looks to put people in the right places to help them grow and take the church where it needs to go. Lord, help us to follow the shepherd that you've given to us. Lord, help us to hear his voice. And Lord, help him to follow you. Lord, as we consider the end of this conversation, that's something that we want to follow and need to follow. Lord, help us to be the flock that you need us to be, and for pastor to be the shepherd that you've called him to be. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.